right, welcome to the Free Stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com, brought to you by Bill Curry Ford. It's the Conference Championship Week edition of the show. I'm Bobby Fenton, joining you here as we get set for one of the most anticipated weekends of the football season. I love last weekend, I guess, the most because you got four games and there's two on each day. We got to wait all the way until almost late Sunday afternoon for the first one. But we've got action, and it's only three football games left for the entire season now. And of course, they're the three most anticipated ones. But I'm excited. I haven't gotten into that, oh man, it's almost all coming to an end type thing soon. And maybe a lot of that extra bounce in my step is because we just had our first full week of having a head coach that we're all excited about, or at least most of us are excited about, and someone like Bruce Arians. And of course, some news coming down this week with the naming of a staff and things like that. We'll talk about all that on the show today. And if you want to get a hold of me, as always, very simple to do. Email address, bobbygameday@yahoo.com, B-O-B-B-Y-G-A-M-E-D-A-Y @yahoo.com. On Twitter, you can get me @bobbygameday. The show brought to you by Bill Curry Ford. We're coming up in February, on February 22nd. It's going to be a Friday night. At 7 p.m., they're having the Bill Curry Ford Classic Ford Car Show. They're going to have a restored 1970 Boss 429 reveal. There's going to be a bunch of other classic Ford cars, Mustangs, and all those types of things. If you're into that sort of thing, go check them out. And this is in addition to all the other things that are always going on at Bill Curry Ford, like the lifetime warranty on new and pre-owned vehicles that includes unlimited years, unlimited miles, plus a 10-year roadside assistance program, and you get one-year complimentary service, oil changes, and all that. Sean Sullivan, the new GM, is a friend, is a fan, and is one of us. He's actually a Jesuit guy just like me, and you can go see him in person or go to the website, BillCurryFord.com. Remember, it's spelled C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com, and check out the already transparent online pricing right there, and then go down there in person to the place a mile north or so of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry and check things out. They've been serving the Tampa community for 58 years now. Start shopping today. Remember, mention me, mention Joe Bucks Fan, mention the Free Stretch, mention any of it. You get the Joe Bucks Fan discount, again, on top of the already transparent online pricing that you can see for yourself before you even head down there. So with all that said, you know, we had a whole week going on here of transition. Things are changing right now, and the personnel stuff hasn't started yet. We're going to get into that on the show today because, you know, the whole honeymoon factor is great and everything. Oh, man, Bruce Arians, this is awesome. You know, we did that show last week, and we're still doing a little bit of it now. But what's really going to determine the success of this team, at least in the immediate short term, I mean, obviously, Bruce Arians is great and all, but the quality of this roster is going to be the biggest thing. And so there's a lot of decisions that have to be made and things like that. And we've got plenty of shows coming up. They're going to deal with the draft and everything like that, free agency and all those types of things. We'll get into it a little bit today, but Bruce Arians has said a few things in the past week now that he is officially on the job. First of all, he's assembled his staff, which, you know, a lot of people made kind of a big deal about the fact that there are 21 coaches on the staff, which does seem like a lot. It's only one more than Dirk Cutter had. Not that I'm trying to compare things to how Dirk Cutter did them or anything like that, but it's a pretty standard thing. And so the staff has been filled out. Of course, the big names you already know. Todd Bowles is the defensive coordinator. Byron Leftwich is the offensive coordinator. You've also got Harold Goodwin as the run game coordinator, assistant to the head coach, but you've got, in addition to those guys, 18 other guys who have been named to the staff. And it gets a little detailed. I mean, they've got an inside linebacker and outside linebacker coach in Mike Caldwell and Larry Foote. They've got a cornerbacks coach in Kevin Ross and a safety coach in Nick Rapone. But again, these are all standard things in the National Football League. It's not just the Bucs. And with the resources they have available to them, sign as many guys as you want. There aren't rules against it like in college where you can only have X amount of on-field assistants and things like that. So, great. We got our staff. Everybody's going to be here in town now. There are no holdovers from Dirk Cutter's time here. It's a completely fresh start. And when you've had a losing season or five, you know, that's something everybody likes to hear. Now, Bruce Arians did say a few interesting things. He's been doing a bunch of interviews. He went on with Adam Schefter on his podcast. He did a thing with Kent Summers of the Arizona Republic, where, you know, the old paper that used to cover him when he was head coach of the Cardinals and some things like that. He'd made a comment about DeSean Jackson that raised a few eyebrows, and I want to talk about that for a minute, because Arian said, right out of the gate, he said, oh, yeah, we'd love to have DeSean Jackson back if that's something we could work out, and he is under contract, but he said, no, we want DeSean Jackson. And everybody flipped, oh, my God, he's already making bad decisions right out of the gate. This is one that I don't like. Bucks need to move on, blah, blah, blah. You know, couple things on that just from where I'm sitting, okay? And I don't know exactly what Bruce Arians is thinking or anything like that, but I'll say this much. First of all, he may legitimately want DeSean Jackson back, and if he does, that's fine. We talked about everything with DeSean Jackson in the past few shows, and obviously I'd be okay if they moved on from him considering the issues that he brought with him, but we also mentioned, if you remember, that the Bucks offense was going pretty good, and through all the Fitzpatrick versus Jameis stuff and the back and forth and all that crap we went through the first half of the year, and then things toward the back end of the season kind of, you know, I mean, the Bucks offense was okay, but by the numbers, it really wasn't all that spectacular later in the season. And a lot of that coincided with the loss of DeSean Jackson. He had the injury, and then there was criticism about, oh, well, he probably could have played, or at least he should have been at practice. And there was this, that, and the other. And we remember the story how Dirk Cutter and him got into it, Jameis and him got, whatever it was. Point is, on the field, all right, there was a noticeable downtick in the Bucs' performance when DeSean Jackson wasn't there. And that doesn't mean it's okay for him to be the way he was off the field, and that doesn't mean that stuff outweighs it. But if he could be contained, and listen, DeSean Jackson under Dirk Cutter and that staff, and I'm not ripping Dirk Cutter and his staff, I'm just saying DeSean Jackson under Dirk Cutter and that staff may not be the same thing as DeSean Jackson under Bruce Arians. All right, the dynamic might be totally different, and Bruce Arians may not be willing to do it without having talked to DeSean Jackson and having all this understood. I mean, I have no idea. I'm throwing out reasons why you don't need to freak out just because he mentioned the idea of possibly having DeSean Jackson continuing to be a contributor on this team, which he undoubtedly was, okay, when he played. And so, you know, that's something that could work. I wouldn't rule it out, and I certainly wouldn't be in the business of just ruling things out of hand after what the Bucks have been through and where they're trying to get to, especially with a brand new staff. So that's one possible reason why Bruce Arians said what he said. Another reason was maybe they don't have much of a plan to bring him back, but they also don't want to make it sound like, oh, we got no chance of keeping this guy. We have no intention of keeping this guy. You know, who's the lowest bidder can come get him? That's what's going to happen if teams know that you're not going to be sticking with somebody and there's no hope of any type of reconciliation or anything, then you lose a ton of leverage. So maybe he's trying to make it out as, you know, hey, this is a chip that we could keep. If you want him, you're going to have to give something up to get him something. I don't know any of this for sure, but I wasn't in any way upset to hear him say, oh, yeah, we'd love to have DeSean Jackson. I'd love to have DeSean Jackson back, too, if he's not going to act like an asshat and if he's going to be, you know, better than the malcontent that he seemed to be in a lot of situations. And you know, before they even signed DeSean Jackson, you knew that's part of the issue, part of the package with him, okay? But what he did on the field, I mean, he was probably more effective on the field than I would have given him credit for before he came here. I mean, the first freaking drive of the entire season against the Saints, who are playing for a berth in the Super Bowl this Sunday. Remember all the way back in week one? Because I still remember. First drive of the whole season, the Saints had the ball, and it carved up the Bucs' defense. It was 7-0, like, you know, before you could open your popcorn up. And it was like, oh, man, going to be a long day, probably a long season, too. And they come back out, and Fitz hits DeSean. What was like a 75-yard touchdown pass? I mean, it was just, yeah. And he was wide open that play. But the point is, there's a dimension there that makes Mike Evans better, that makes Adam Humphries better, that makes everybody better. So I'm okay with it. The thing is trust. I trust Bruce Arians. And it's not that I didn't think Dirk Cutter was competent, but obviously there's a degree of trust that you didn't have with that staff after 3 years or 4 years. And with Bruce Arians, I have that trust, and I hope I still have the ability to say that in 3 or 4 years, but I try. If he says, hey, we can make this work, we're going to bring back DeSean Jackson, then fine, bring, of course. I mean, on the field, you can't deny what he can do, and it made a difference in the offense. You saw that in the final few games of the 2018 season, so there was that. He said on the Schefter podcast, the 2018, part of the problem was the Russian roulette wheel at quarterback. And we talked last week about how he is on record many times before. He's a one quarterback guy. He's not going to have, you know, QB controversies or camp battles or this or that and the other. He's gotten behind Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston, for his part, talked to Rick Stroud, who covers the Bucs for the Tampa Bay Times. And, you know, that was one of the things Jameis said meant a great deal to him to hear that. And it should. I mean, that's something that I think psychologically makes a big difference. And it's what I think the Bucs have been needing to do with Jameis Winston all along. It was one of my major complaints about the staff last year and their inability. And Jameis didn't do any favors, okay? I mean, a lot of it was his fault with getting suspended and things like that. But, you know, the way they jerked him around, even after the Cincinnati game. Four picks, five picks, whatever it is, I don't care, you know? Think about what's best for the franchise going forward. And Dirk Koetter was trying to save his job and thought that's what he had to do. We're not going to be dealing with that now, okay? Jameis Winston's the guy. He said he fully believes a lot of the things that are Jameis's problems are going to be able to be corrected. Those things will go away, was his quote, under the tutelage that he should be getting. And, you know, a lot of it's philosophical stuff. And I'm totally bought into all this long before we even hired Arians. But having a guy like Arians say it just the same makes me feel even better. So these are all things going on, and they'll be continuing to evaluate players. The roster stuff is not stuff. I mean, these guys have probably just unpacked their moving vans and moved their families into town and all that. But again, personnel is going to tell the tale. Now, on the offensive side of the ball, and again, we've got a bunch of shows we're going to be able to do this. I'm not going to go do a whole roster spot by roster spot thing today. But looking at what we have offensively, okay, good at quarterback. Not doing anything there. I mean, they do actually need a couple quarterback. They only have one quarterback under contract. That's Jameis. So whether Fitzpatrick is brought back again as a free agent, which I love Fitzpatrick. I mean, I've talked about that many times before. I love him. And I'd love to have him back as long as there's not a weird dynamic. You know, it's almost like, hey, after what happened last year, do you want the guy who could maybe have done it better in certain spots and did do it better in certain spots behind Jameis Winston, or do you want to just start fresh? I mean, you know, that I'm not sure about. I don't think the dynamic would be a problem with those guys at all, but the number two guy in this case is going to be the defined number two guy. So maybe it shouldn't be the guy who was kind of 1A, 2, then back to 1A, you know, last year. But again, it could be, and I have no idea if Arians wants to do it that way, he could. Or they're going to need two guys at quarterback, not the starter, though. Wide receivers, no problem there. I've said I would like to see Adam Humphries back. I know he's going to get offered a lot of money by other people, and perhaps there's no way to have both DeSean Jackson and Adam Humphries back, but maybe there is. I'd love to see the Bucs find a way to do that because I do think Adam Humphries is worth it. And then, of course, you know, Chris Godwin needs to make a big step forward, but he's a guy. I mean, he's there. I mean, they have their depth at wide receiver is not in question. So then you get to running back. And here's one where, you know, I thought it was pretty instructive watching the NFC divisional round game with the Rams and the Cowboys this past weekend. Because you've got, on one hand, and this goes back to my Le'Veon Bell stuff. I don't think the Bucs are getting Le'Veon Bell. But you've got, on one hand, Todd Gurley, who people in many cases believe is the MVP of the league and one of the most just invaluable players. It can't be spared. This guy, he's a cheat code, all the great. And he's great. Todd Gurley is great. And then you've got a guy in CJ Anderson, who's been cut by three teams and just joined the Rams themselves in, what was it, December? I think he joined them. And those two guys were splitting the carries in that game, and both guys were equally effective, and you could barely tell them apart. I mean, their running styles aren't the same, but, I mean, as far as their effectiveness, I mean, they were leaning on CJ Anderson, if not as much, then more than they were Todd Gurley. And I'm not trying to say C.J. Anderson is better than Todd Gurley, but my point is, as always, running backs, you can get them anywhere. That doesn't mean any of them are going to automatically be good. We got Ronald Jones, who they took a second-round pick on, and it's looking very well like they might have fanned on that pick. Not necessarily yet. I mean, he has a chance for a bounce-back year this year. You never want to have a bounce-back year when you weren't there to begin with. You know, it's really just a bounce year he's hoping to have. It's only a second year. But my point is he could end up being he's salvageable. I'm saying it's pretty telling the way the Rams, with this guy who is supposedly just the most valuable player in the entire league, and they go pick up a guy off the street who's been cut by half the teams in the league, it seems like, and he just steps in there in just a gigantic playoff game, divisional round, and he's slicing and dicing just like Gurley was. Couldn't even tell him apart. Couldn't even tell him apart as far as the yards they were getting. They were leaning on him on big carries, and both guys were good for them. They rushed for almost 300 yards in that game, right? So Peyton Barber has a role on this team, there's no question. Now, whether or not he's the quote-unquote featured back or anything like that, I can see the Bucs looking for some help there. You know, and I don't think Jacquizz Rodgers is going to be around next season. And Sean Wilson, you know, whatever. I'm not nothing against Sean Wilson. I'm just saying I think in addition to Peyton Barber, who's a big, you know, he's 225, whatever he is, 230, there's room for another pickup there. But not necessarily Le'Veon. I mean, the Le'Veon Bell thing to me is crazy to spend that much money on a guy. And the Steelers even did it too. James Conner. Okay, we'll put him in. You got to learn. Don't. And Saquon Barkley's another one. He's unbelievable. I mean, in no way am I questioning his ability. Would I love to have him? Yes. But I wouldn't have picked him as high as the Giants did. It didn't change the Giants franchise or anything like that. I mean, just running backs don't do that anymore. They just don't. You need them. And there'll be plenty to choose from coming up. So that's one spot where the Bucs have to make a move. But the biggest spot the Bucs have to make a move in this offseason, to me, is on the offensive line. Because they've got basically two spots that you could say, okay, that's our guy. Left guard, Ali Marpet, no problem. Center, Ryan Jensen, that's not changing. Damar Dotson at left tackle, I mean, is that, are we going to ride with that any further? Obviously, Caleb Benenock, I'm not going to bash him. We've been through that before. And even Donovan Smith at right tackle, he's been okay. I mean, you know, you could franchise tag him and have him for a pretty pricey number for 1 year. But then, you know, you could still have that one more year to kind of, you know, evaluate and make a decision. And he's not terrible. I mean, he's not terrible. But if it was me, you know, the whole thing with scenarios in the draft, I mean, they have other needs too. They've got needs at cornerback. You always need people up front on defense, even though Carl Nassib emerged, and obviously Pierre Paul emerged. You still had Vinnie Curry kind of not be, you know, Unrain wasn't, and so they're going to need people up there too. I understand that, but man, if it was me, I mean, if I could give you like a choice of facts that I could say, this is going to be a fact 2 years from now, pick which one you want to be a fact. And I said, you know, one's going to be, oh, the Bucs have one of the best running back tandems in the league. That'll be a fact. Or, oh, the Bucs have one of the fiercest pass rushes in the league. That'll be a fact. Or if I told you in 2 years, the Bucs will be known as having one of the most solid, cohesive, and outright reliable offensive lines in the league. Which of those facts would you choose that, yes, I want that to be a fact 2 years from now or 3 years from now? Because I'll tell you what, given the tools this team has on offense, given where I feel Jameis Winston is in his development, and given what the Bucs have been able to do even with a poor offensive line, okay, if you told me this team could just be rock solid up front on offense, just completely unassailable, five guys working as one, like five fingers making one solid fist, and just unquestioned, that's what I would want for this offense and for this team, okay? Not that I wouldn't want to have, again, a great running back tandem or an unbelievable pass rush, which is, I mean, the two most important things are the offensive line and the pass rush, period, bar none. That has always been, as much as football changes and it's always ever-changing and up-tempo offenses and, you know, running giving way to passing and on, no matter what, those two things, yesterday, today, tomorrow, and always, both sides up. If you're good on both sides up front, you will be good, okay? And especially on the offensive line, I mean, it's been an issue for several years now. It was an issue last. I mean, imagine Jameis Winston, number one, being coached by Bruce Arians, and number two, actually having more than a second and a half to do anything. Imagine Peyton Barber not being met by a wall of opposite colored jerseys every time he touches the ball within a half second of that happening. I mean, imagine all that. So that's something they're going to have to look at. And, you know, again, they've got that fifth pick. We don't know how things are going to shake out yet. We don't know who they might want, or maybe they can trade down and get out. But if you just told me they're going to get a stud left tackle, or even a stud, not, you know, you're going to draft a guard at five usually, but, you know, that's where they need to be going, is just stacking the offensive line. You got two of the five spots taken care of, maybe three, and that's about it. So then you look at the defense, Gerald McCoy, and we talked about him on the last couple of shows and kind of the speech he gave to the media after the Week 17 game, the final game of the season, in near tears. It looked like he wasn't going to come back, and then all of a sudden, you know, a couple weeks have passed now, and you start looking at the roster and you realize, and I said myself on this, I basically eulogized Gerald McCoy's career with the Bucs before he was officially gone. And I said, look, he's been great, love him. Never was that spectacular, for as good as he's supposed to be, and I know he's good, you know, never did have that same, and I'm not trying to compare him to Warren Sapp, but never did have that same, oh yeah, man, GMC's going to take care of business. I mean, he'd stand out for a couple plays a game, but you just, it was easy not to notice Gerald McCoy for too much of the time, I said. All right, that doesn't mean I don't want him back, because that creates another hole if you get rid of him. And so that's a decision they're going to have to make. And I know Bruce Arians would like to have him back. It might not necessarily be over. When Gerald McCoy made that speech, that was right after the game. We all knew Dirk Cutter was getting fired, but he had not been fired yet. And we didn't know Bruce Arians was going to be the coach yet. And maybe that changes things. I'm not sure. So he's another one, you know, and again, these are all things that as the offseason progresses will come more into light and things like that. But what you can't deny is the level of excitement, which, if nothing else, I mean, you know, it's been a long, what's it been now? I mean, watching the wild card games a couple weeks ago, I still reminisce about the Bucs in playoff games. It's such a small part of my Bucs fan memories in terms of percentage of games. I mean, I've been a Bucs fan, like I always tell you guys, since I was a little kid. First team I ever loved, and the only team I'll have loved my whole life. You know, we didn't have the Rays, we didn't have the Lightning. I hadn't become a Florida Gator yet. Bucs are the only constant in my whole life, and I look back all the games I've watched, all the seasons I've watched, on and on and on. And what are the playoffs comprised? Probably like 5% of those games, if that, or something like that. Maybe 10, I have to do the math, I'm not sure. But the point is, still, when I think of my Bucs memories, an outsized proportion of them are, you know, 97 Lions game, Packers game, those losses in Philly in the 2000-2001 wildcard games, you know, the epic NFC Championship game in 99 at St. Louis after they'd beaten the Redskins at home in the divisional round. Brad Johnson on the bad snap. Was it Matt Turk for the Redskins? The Redskins were lining up on a field goal to beat the Bucs. Instead, they won. They got to go to the Rams and lose that game on the whole Ricky Prohl thing. I mean, you know, Burnham Man, all that stuff. And then, of course, the Super Bowl. Adell Shepard in 2005. The Giants coming in here in 2007 on their way to three straight road playoff victories and the Super Bowl over an undefeated Patriots. I remember all that. All right? It's been a long time. And so now we get a new coach and it starts all over again. We're all excited it's going to happen. You know, Bruce Arians. And I absolutely think the Bucs did the right thing in hiring him. But it won't change overnight just because they hired him. The personnel has to be shored up. And Jason Light, a lot of people were puzzled that they retained him. And obviously this is before Bruce Arians was brought in. Now that he's here, you can point to that as one of the direct reasons why was Jason Light's presence. But he's still going to have to go get some players. And the Bucs have a lot of work to do. BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com is my email address. BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com on Twitter. It's @BobbyGameDay. So looking ahead, just I want to say a couple more things. Not doing an incredibly long show today, but looking ahead to Championship Sunday. And we're at the point now where, you know, you start to remember these things years from now. Obviously, I remember all the Super Bowls. I can tell you every Super Bowl where I watched it, even going back to when I was 7 years old, who I was with, what happened in the game, I remember them all. But the conference championship games are like that too, in a way, not quite as much. And then you start looking at there's four possible Super Bowl combinations and who are you rooting for and everything like that. And personally, if I could choose, I'd love to see the Chiefs and the Saints. I mean, that, to me, the two number one seeds, not just because they're number one seeds, but I think that'd be a just really phenomenal matchup, one we haven't seen. We saw Chiefs-Rams, and I'd love to see that again. I wouldn't complain. That was a phenomenal game. And yet Chiefs-Saints, I think, to me, is the most compelling. It'd be the best uniform matchup possibility of all of those possible matchups, which is something I always look at. But in addition to that, I mean, the whole Mahomes-Breeze thing. You've got Mahomes and Brady this week, and no one is rooting for the Patriots. I mean, I don't know about people you know personally, but I'm thinking of people I know personally, and I can't think of very many who are rooting for the New England Patriots. But I got to tell you what, I love what they're doing psychologically. And people are already on Twitter. People are saying, this is nauseating. Look at the Patriots trying to capitalize on being an underdog. No one in the world, literally no one in the world, doesn't think they can win. And yet they're making up this faux narrative about how they're the underdog, bet against us. I love it. I think it's great. I mean, you can complain about the Patriots all you want. And you can say, oh, well, I'm just sick of Tom Brady. I'm sick of the Patriots. Let's move on. And that's fine. I get if you're sick of it, okay? But how can you not have anything but respect? This is the eighth freaking AFC championship game in a row. This is a salary cap league. This is a league that is designed to have parity. This is a league that's designed to help teams that aren't that good not be terrible forever and eventually even up. And same thing goes for teams that are really good. This is a league that's designed to have regression to the mean, both positive and negative. It's not designed to have one team go to eight straight conference championship games. And if you go back to 2001, you've got 18 years, 13 of them, they're in there. If they won the game and played in the Super Bowl, I might be tired of the same field paint, like seeing that end zone painted in with the Patriots logo. That might get a little tiresome. I'm ready for some new Super Bowl fields with new logos and stuff. Okay, that. But I would not at all feel like it was a less compelling matchup. I mean, you give me the Patriots against the Saints, or you give me the Patriots against the Rams. To me, it's just unbelievable what they've been able to do. And I love the whole idea of them. And, you know, this isn't anything new. Michael Jordan was well known for this, even though he was the best basketball player ever for his time, and maybe ever. I'm not going to argue about him and LeBron or anything. But the point is, even as all that was happening, he'd always, oh, this guy slighted me. Some guy looked at him cross-eyed, getting off the bus in the arena. He'd go for 45 to stick it up that guy's ass. Just random stuff, like stuff that was even not even real. Real or perceived, he would just get there in his mind. And you have to get to that place. I mean, you have to get to that place sometimes to be that kind of a player. I remember, and this is something that I was hardly a good basketball player, but I can tell you a story from a few years ago playing pickup basketball with my buddies. And we were setting up teams and things like that, and I was always, you know, I've always been pretty athletic, but I've never been a great ball guy. Like, didn't have good ball skills, didn't dribble terribly well, didn't shoot terribly well. So I'd always play really good defense. I was always one of the best defenders out there. And I would always rebound, but I didn't shoot that much unless I was wide open. Not the point of the story. Anyway, so we're making teams, and one of my best friends, a guy who was in my wedding, guy I've known since kindergarten, I'm still best friends with him today, ends up being on the other team. So we're setting up our defense, always play man, you know. And I overhear him saying to one of the other guys, oh, don't worry about Fenton, man. He's like, leave him, he ain't gonna score, he's not a threat, don't worry about him. And he actually wanted my guy, the guy defending me, to come off of me and help him out and double one of the other guys on our team who he thought was more of a threat. So I heard this. I heard him say, I don't worry about Fenton, man. Leave him alone. He ain't gonna hurt us. And I got pissed off and I didn't say anything. I steeled myself. I internalized all the anger. And then the game started. And like I said, I was one of those guys in a pickup basketball game. I might make a couple baskets if I had an open shot or got loosed underneath, but I would never be a creator or a scorer or anything. We played to like 15, you know, just by ones and twos, typical pickup basketball. My team won like 15 to 11, 15, 12, something like that. I think I had 10 of the 15 points. I hit like two threes, I drove to the lane a bunch of times, scored both sides. I mean, I just took over, and I would never do that in a regular game, but I absolutely just turned the vengeance dial all the way up to the top and then just went off. And I probably couldn't even have another game like that again if I wanted to, but that one game, that one time, I just dropped them in, just pouring them in beyond the arc underneath, and it was all vengeance. And that's what you have to do. You have to find something, and the Patriots are doing that, and I have nothing but respect for them. And again, I'm rooting for the Chiefs just because I'm really interested to see the Chiefs do what they do. And I'd love to see a Chiefs-Saints or even a Chiefs-Rams Super Bowl. But if it comes down to the Patriots versus one of those two teams, I mean, that'll be just fine with me too. I really just want to see good football. And Tom Brady's been doing it his whole career. I mean, even now, looking back at everything that's happened, he's the greatest quarterback of all time. And yet he can probably internalize going back to when he was at Michigan and had to compete with Drew Henson, didn't get a chance to start till his third or fourth season, whatever it was. Then, of course, as we all know, getting drafted 199th in the 2001 draft and the six quarterbacks that got drafted ahead of him, known as the Brady Six now. He probably thinks about all that every time, not even when he was in New England. The backup, you know, Drew Bledsoe was the guy. They weren't going to give him a shot. It only happened because of necessity when Drew Bledsoe got hurt against the Bills in that fateful game, and on from there. So everybody should take a lesson from that. I mean, I'm not saying be bitter. I'm not saying have a huge chip on your shoulder at all times in your daily life, but look for reasons to be motivated. Look for reasons where somebody either out and out said something about you or implied something about you not being good enough or implied that you were less than something that you think you'd be. Who among us wouldn't feed off something like that? And it's working for the Patriots. And when you have won as much as they have, and when you've been to 8 straight AFC championship games, and when you've won 5 Super Bowls or whatever it is, 6 Super Bowls, Brady's won 5. You know, it might be hard. It's not hard to get motivated, obviously. You want to win, but there's a difference between chasing after something you've wanted your whole life and chasing after something you've done 5 times already. But when you can find a little extra something, even though you've been there before and been there, done that, it is like it's the first time all over again, I would think. So, hey, I just want to watch it all unfold. Like I said, sports is the greatest reality TV that we have. There's nothing better, and this is the culmination of all these months and all these regular season games and the playoffs, and it all comes down to 3 football games now. I can't wait to watch it. I hope you enjoy it too. Whatever you do this weekend, just be safe, have fun. As always, great opportunity to get together with friends and watch the games instead of watching them alone. But whatever you do, just be safe and have a good time. We will be back next week. At that point, we'll know our Super Bowl matchup. And, of course, we'll always cover everything going on. You can catch everything going on with the Bucks at joebucksfan.com, the number one place on the internet and anywhere to keep up with our favorite football team. So thanks to the Joes for giving me this forum and allowing me to get in front of you guys. Thanks to Bill Curry Ford. Thanks to all of you for listening. Always love hearing your emails. Again, drop me an email if you want to, bobbygameday@yahoo.com or on Twitter @bobbygameday. I am Bobby Fenton. That is the conference championship edition of the Free Stretch. Have a great weekend, and wherever you are, as always, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.